kind of picks you up there. It's pretty
cool. All right.
I can talk loud enough. So.
Yeah, Father went to a preparatory school on the outskirts of New Haven, and then he went to Case School of Applied Science in Cleveland, Ohio, where he used to love to tell a story about playing football. I said, Father, are you playing football? As you know, he was very slight of structure. And I don't know, I don't think he ever weighed over 120 pounds. But in those days, they used to be able to run what they called the flying wedge. And they'd make up a wedge of men on the offensive. And they'd roar down the field trying to knock the defense out of the way. And when they finally got brought to a stop, then the backfield would take Father and throw him over the, all the people as far as they could throw him. So they wanted a light person. That was Father's football.
Football experience.
It's a little bit illegal, those players now. And your father came from, my father, your grandfather. What speed's this tape running at?
Oh, we got about an hour of tape.
Oh, I see. He grew up on the farm where you saw the wee mats. And I think that was, I don't know, 100 and 200 acre farm, something like that. And at that time, of course, Father was recruited together with his three brothers and his sister. There being four brothers and a sister in the family, to do farm work. They saw the ice out of the pond in the river in the winter and put it in an ice house, which consisted of a couple of walls about 2 feet apart, I think, and all filled with sawdust, and that they would still have ice right in the middle of summer in the, out of their ice house. And, of course, fresh water came from the old cast iron pump with a pump handle. One of his duties, he pointed out, was to hitch up a team and to take the farm produce to town, Poland, to Youngstown. And at that time, he said, it was an all-day job. He'd take the farm produce, which had been collected over the week or the month or something, and sell it for the best price in town. And then he had a shopping list, which you've sort of looked at in those old books, I guess.
Right.
To buy a pair of shoes, to buy a hat, to buy a bag of flour, and this and that and the other thing. And now it's about 10 minutes from Poland, center of Poland, to the center of Youngstown. They've grown right together. There are no longer any open spaces there. Your great-grandfather, of course, lived there. Samuel Kirtland, I believe. Hine. No. That's Uncle Kurt. I'd have to try and look that up. There are a whole lot of Kirtlands. There are more Kirtland names in the act out there than there are Hine. The Hine is kind of a spur of the Kirtland family. You may have heard the funny story about Bilious Kirtland.
No.
Well, that's funny enough. He used to be with a name like that. We used to have an oval, large oval portrait of Bilious Kirtland in the living room in Seattle. And was I ever glad when we got rid of that, because people would ask who it was, and I'd have to tell them that's my great uncle Bilious Kirtland. And they'd say, Bilious, ha, 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 ha. Kid the life out of me. Bilious was almost hung as a witch at one point, because he was...
when you cough, what you can do is you can flip this down and it turns...
If I can catch it that fast. He was early in the days of electricity. Did I tell you a story about his Leyden jars?
No, go ahead.
Well, to make a condenser, you are aware that you have two conducting plates of material with some insulating material between them.
Right.
And the way to make a condenser in those days was called a Leyden jar. You promoted a quart-sized mason jar, and you got some of what in those days was lead foil, no such thing as aluminum, and coated the inside with lead foil and wrapped lead foil around the outside, and you had the components of a condenser, which will store electricity.
Right.
And then he had a Wimsers, I guess, type static electric generator. You turn the big disc, and it goes between little cat's whiskers and stuff, and sort of works like you comb in your dry hair on a dry day.
Right.
And he would charge up these Leyden jars, and then people would want to come up and see his experimental setup upstairs. I believe it was up in the tower of the old home. In those days, they used to have lots of towers and widow's walks up high in the house.
Right.
People would get up there, and he'd have these jars all charged up, and he'd let somebody grab a hold of the electrode, and they'd get a hell of a shock and didn't understand it at all, so it must be witchcraft, and they were about to tar and feather him and throw him out of town.
So that was in Portland?
Maybe I'd take a little after Turin or other. Bilious Kirtland. There is a small settlement nearby called Kirtland, Ohio. And among some of the important people there are Turin Kirtland, and I've forgotten why he was so important. But almost everybody in town was related to one another, I believe, at least as distant cousins out there.
Now, what year was this?
Well, let's see.
What year was your father born?
Boy, I'd have to look on a tombstone. Well, in the late 80s, because he died, 20 years ago? He died in the late 50s.
Right.
And at 72, I think. So that would go back to about 1880 when then.
Now, who's the Henry Homer Hine or the Homer Hine in the those day books, those day logs that I have?
My father, your grandfather.
Because I thought the day logs were from 1845 or something.
Well, I think they lasted over the years, didn't they? Because if it's Homer Henry, why, that's my father. Among the stories about father that he finally got around to telling me, I think I've told you this one. I was 18 years old before I realized he was blind in one eye.
Really?
And, yeah, his eye looked perfectly good. I wondered why he kind of squinted sometimes. What happened is that he couldn't afford a shotgun, and the family couldn't afford to get him one. And all his friends had shotguns, and they were going out hunting coon and things like that. So he decided he's going to make one. He got a piece of pipe, and he drilled a hole near the end, put the fuse in, and he hammered a cork in the end, and then he dropped the wadding and the powder and the shot down the muzzle, and he got the thing up in front of him and lit the fuse, and of course naturally the lead didn't go out the barrel, the cork went out the other end, it's so much lighter, right into his eye. So that was the end of the sight in that eye.
So who, now who's Uncle Kurt?
Well, Uncle Kurt is father's brother. There were four brothers, Homer Henry, your grandfather, Samuel Kirtland, Uncle Kurt, who was a senior member of the family, I believe, and Uncle Al, Albert Hine, and Uncle Charlie, and then there's Aunt Nell, who was the sister of the group. Aunt Nell lived to be a ripe old age as a spinster and very religious. And she was allowed by the rest of the family to just sort of absorb the old family homestead there and make that her home after everybody else had moved away and had their families.
Now, where are all these folks buried?
They're all buried where I want to be buried, in the Riverside Cemetery, Poland, Ohio. And it's a perfectly beautiful spot overlooking what's called Yellow Creek, which runs through town. Yellow Creek is what, up at the dam, the mill, there's a little mill there and a dam, and that's where they got the ice I mentioned earlier in the winter. Father tells of ice skating out there, and He thought he'd really had it. He went out where there was thin ice, and he went through. And he remembered there was a current, so he took a couple of strokes and surfaced, and he hit the hole he'd gone down in. Somebody came along and shoved a board out for him and got him out of the water. Father had a lot of pretty wild experiences out there as a youth. Those are all that come to me now.
You push up to make it go on. Yeah, that's right. We were talking about, Uncle Kurt and Homer's other brothers and sisters.
Yeah, well, let's take Father first. What Father did in his career was he took electrical engineering, as did I at Yale, and he moved to Alabama. He got a job with a telephone company in Alabama. And while there, he became ill. He didn't tell me just what it was, the illness. But it seemed like the doctor said the best thing for him was to go west and forget all this working for the telephone company. Go west for 6 months or a year. So Father went to Seattle and liked it and stayed for the rest of his life. Married your grandmother out there. And settled in Seattle. He was one of the early settlers. Some of the old pictures I wish I had showed Seattle when it was really rudimentary wooden buildings and sort of real old western town. Then Uncle Kurt took chemical engineering and went with a steel company. The hell is that?
A rock.
Went with a steel company. And A.M. Byers and Company, and he worked up very rapidly to a responsible position, and he was great on investments, and he became a wealthy member of the four-brother family, four brother and one sister. Then Uncle Charlie took law and practiced in Cleveland, Ohio, and he was a very well-known lawyer in Cleveland. And Uncle Alfred was sort of the ne'er-do-well of the family. He was a partner of Bill McKelvey's father. Bill McKelvey's father and Uncle Alfred being in the construction business, big construction, bridges and towers and things like that. And somehow or other his wife managed to spend money faster than he could make it, though, because he was always bumming some money off Uncle Kurt, which burned up Uncle Kurt, but Uncle Kurt was kind-hearted and would loan it to him. As a result, his family got very little out of the will, because Uncle Kurt felt he'd already helped that family a great deal and done nothing for the others. So that covers the brothers. As I said, Aunt Nell was a spinster, and she did quite some duty, though, as a spinster. She was, I guess, American Red Cross nurse in World War I in Europe, and ended up pushing Model T Fords through the mud of the Soviet and whatnot. She had quite some tales to tell.
Wasn't your mother your father's second wife?
No, it's the other way around. Mother had been married to another person very unsuccessfully in the early days. This was Father's first marriage, first and last. I can't go too much into the past beyond the Poland scene, except that the family originated in New Milford, Connecticut, and apparently by wagon train or other means, made their way west and together with other people settled the town of Poland. So the town of Poland was, I believe, pretty much settled by the Kirtland and the Hine families. Uncle Kurt delved into the history, and I wish I could find Uncle Kurt's. It may be around there somewhere. It looks like the blue book that you use for exams in college. That gives a little more detail. But Uncle Kurt was a bug on the family, keeping up with it, and he had some professionals delved back into the family tree, and they got as far as New Milford, where as Uncle Kurt says, they ran into a horse thief, so he canceled the rest of the deal. Yeah, I would think that. I think that'd be about right. Yes, he he became director of many corporations and invested in some of them. The principal big success in investing was the Pittsburgh Metallurgical Company. They melted down ore like chromium and vanadium and purified it and would furnish it to the steel mills as an alloying element to put in their steel. And Uncle Kurt, when he passed away, his Pittsburgh metallurgical stock, and he had a vast amount of it, was valued at 99 cents a share. And when that, 10 years later, my aunt passed away, and therefore the whole estate was distributed, two-thirds of it to me. I got the lion's share because I was his favorite boy. It was worth $43 a share. That's quite an appreciation.